Turn to John chapter 7. I have in my heart tonight to go on with what was taken up in the gospel by our brother Doug last night. I had it upon my heart before Doug even had it last night, but I'm not going to talk too much about King Jehoram, but I want to go on to the sixth chapter of 2 Kings chapter 6 and 2 Kings chapter 7. But before I do, I want to read these verses that I so often read in the Gospel. And I believe that they are so relevant to the Gospel that we have tonight. Because, beloved, you know, tonight, this is the last meeting of this conference. And we've had a beautiful conference, and we were able to go away refreshed. We've had some beautiful readings, and the Hebrews 11. And I've been just rejoicing in the ministry that's been given out this weekend. But it's coming to an end. As everything comes to an end down here. Everything comes to an end down here. And this is the last meeting, and how fitting it is that it's a gospel. That God's heart can go out to whosoever will tonight. And if so, if there's one here tonight still in their sins and still never confessed the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior, the invitation is to you tonight. As we read this verse in John 7, what a beautiful verse. Because our blessed Lord preached this verse on that day, John 7:37. He says here, in that last day, that great day of the feast, and isn't it wonderful that tonight we've had a beautiful feast over the precious Word of God this weekend. And here, this last meeting, and what do we find here? Jesus stood and cried. Oh, think of the compassions of His heart for that crowd that was there that day. And still, His heart is going out to you tonight, dear sinner friend, if you're still in your sins. And His arms are outstretched to you tonight. And He's crying to you, if any man thirst, let him come to Me and drink. And so He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with fatness. Oh, what a Savior! He longs to bless. He longs to save. And He's willing and able to save you tonight if you'll just come to Him in faith. So it says here, if any man thirst, let him come to Me and drink. Oh, I just rejoice at this because all these verses that are recorded in the Gospels, and these wonderful verses like Matthew 11:28, John 5:24, this one here, John 6:37, just to name a few of them, they came from the lips of our blessed Savior. And that verse, John 3:16, is so widely acclaimed all over this world, written in so many languages all over this world. And it came from the lips of our blessed Lord Jesus. And, you know, so many young people here tonight, you learn that verse, John 3:16, right from the time you're in Sunday school. But listen, let me ask you tonight, do you know the author of that verse personally? This verse that we read, do you know the author of it? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, dear one, tonight, I want to read this verse, and then I want to read Lamentations chapter 1, another verse that I so often give out in the Gospel. Lamentations chapter 1. And you all know the verse, verse 12. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold and see, is there any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which was done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of His fierce anger? Oh, dear one, tonight, what is this? It's the sufferings of Christ on Calvary's cross. And He's saying to you, is this nothing to you? And so, dear one, tonight you are passing by the cross. You're passing by the cross. Here you have been here in this conference for 3 days now, being under the sound of the Word of God. And we asked you solemnly tonight, is this nothing to you? That you have heard this weekend, is this nothing to you? Are you going to go out of this conference tonight and just go on your merry way, an unsaved soul, and never being affected by what has been brought out this weekend, never being affected, and you say, this is nothing? Are you affected by the sufferings of Christ on Calvary's cross for your sins? Are you affected by it? When you think of our blessed Lord Jesus there on Calvary's cross with His arms outstretched, His arms were outstretched on Calvary's cross for you. He suffered on Calvary's cross for you, dear friend. He did. Is there any sorrow likened to my sorrow which was done unto me wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of His fierce anger? We sing that song, 245, the depth of all thy suffering no heart could e'er conceive. The cup of wrath o'erflowing for us thou didst receive. Oh, to think of what our blessed Lord went through for us at Calvary's cross, and those long dark hours on Calvary's cross when He was made sin for us and bore our sins. Oh, we say tonight, is this nothing to you? Does this not affect your heart? Does this not move you, dear friend, tonight to realize that you're a lost sinner and on your downward road to hell? Dear friend, God does not want that of you. He says, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked would turn from his evil way. He says, turn ye, for why will ye die? Oh, God doesn't want to send you into lost eternity. No, it's a God of love, a God that is pleading for your soul tonight just to come to Him. Just as it was in John 7:37, He was pleading for those to come to Him that day. And all they were doing was having a good time. Is that your case tonight, dear friend? Do you come here to this conference just for a good time to be with your friends and all that has transcribed this conference? Is that what you came for? Or did you come to hear the precious Word of God? To hear the good news of salvation? Dear one, tonight, has this not affected you? Is this nothing to you? What about it, dear friend? It's just as if God was speaking to you tonight. You're real. He wants you to come to Him tonight. Now I want to read another verse in Ecclesiastes. For you, dear young ones here tonight, especially I want to speak to tonight. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And you know the verse I'm going to read. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. I'm looking out over this audience tonight and I see many who are in their youth. You're sitting beside your mother and your father and you have your Bible open before you and you're reading this verse. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Who is your Creator? Do you know Him? Do you know Him personally as Lord and Savior of your life? Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. I've been occupied lately with the wonderful Creator, His handiwork over this world. His handiwork. I ran across a little poem the other day, and I want to read it. Who put the stars in the evening sky? Who gave the waters their azure blue? Who set the rainbow up and high? Who sprinkled the grasses with morning dew? Who hid the fawn with its dappled sides? Who taught the salmon to swim the brooks? Who buried gold in the heart of the earth? Planted wood violets in shadowed nooks? Who told the crocus that spring had come? Brought the butterfly from the cocoon? Who put the song in the robin's heart? Governed the tides by the distant moon? Who put the wonder within my heart? Set the joy bells within my soul? Who gave reason to even exist? Made earth a mission, heaven a goal? Dear one, I want to just add to this poem. You know, quite a few years ago, I was up in the Labrador, and I was visiting a little village called Williams Harbor, just a small fishing village, and giving out the gospel in this village. And I went right through the village, and then there was another village over the hill. And it meant a 2 mile hike over a trail, over the hill. And I went to the crest of the hill, and I was descending into this little village called Francis Harbor. There were some Christians down there that I visited. But as I came down into Francis Harbor, there was a sight that met my eyes that was absolutely awesome. What I saw was an iceberg grounded on the beach. That iceberg was as high as a 30-story office building, with its blues, beautiful colors in it. It's a normal thing in a Labrador. They're just coasting up and down the coast of Labrador all the time, these icebergs. Who made that iceberg? Who caused that iceberg to calf off up there in the Greenland Strait and come down? And what about that iceberg bringing down all the nutrients, rich nutrients, and depositing them on the Grand Banks of Newfoundland, where the richest fishing grounds in the world are? Who did that? The creator of this world. Yeah, the creator of this world. And I'll tell you who that creator is. He's my Savior. He's my Savior. Who is this wonderful person, dear one, tonight? Who was it that left the heights of glory and came down here into this world 2,000 years ago? Who walked the streets of this world a perfect man? Who was it? Who went to Calvary's cross? Who suffered on Calvary's cross for your sins and mine? Who was it that cried out from Calvary's cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Who was it, dear friend, tonight? Do you know this one? Do you know his name? I know his name. He's my Savior. I'll tell you who he is. Song of Solomon, chapter 5. Yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend. Can you say that tonight, dear friend? Is he your Savior, personally, Lord and Savior of your life, dear one, tonight? He can be your Savior tonight if you'll just come to him in simple faith. Put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. His arms are outstretched to you tonight. He's saying, come, 'tis Jesus gently calling. Ye with care and toil oppressed with your guilt, howe'er appalling, come, and I will give you rest. Oh, that wonderful verse, Matthew 11 and 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Let's turn now to 2 Kings chapter 6. Second Kings chapter 6 and verse 24. And it came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his host and went up and besieged Samaria. And there was a great famine in Samaria, and behold, they besieged it until an ass's head was sold for 80 pieces of silver, and the fourth part of a calf of a dove's dung was for 5 pieces of silver. And as the king of Israel was passing upon the wall, there cried a woman unto him, saying, help my lord, O king. And he said, if the Lord do not help thee, whence shall I help thee? Out of the barn floor, or out of the winepress? And the king said unto her, what aileth thee? And she answered, this woman saith unto me, give thy son that we may eat him today, and we will eat thy son tomorrow. Incredible, isn't it? And so we boiled my son and did eat him. And I said unto her on the next day, Give my son, that we may eat him. And she hath hid her son. And it came to pass when the king heard the words of the woman, that he rent his clothes and he passed by in the wall. And behold, the people looked, and behold, he had sackcloth within upon his flesh. Then he said, God, do so, and more also to me, if the head of Elisha, the son of Shaphat, shall stand upon him this day. And Elisha sat in his house, and the elders sat with him. And the king sent a man before him, but ere the messengers came to him, he said to the elders, See how this son of a murderer has sent to take away mine head. Look, when the messenger cometh, shut the door and hold him fast at the door. Is not the sound of his master's feet behind him? And while he talked with them, behold, the messenger came down unto him, and he said, Behold, this evil is of the Lord. Why should I wait for the Lord any longer? Then Elisha said, Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, Tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold, and two measures of barley be for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. I want to just stop there. Here we have Ben-Hadad coming up against the city of Samaria. And you look back in the in 1 Kings and you find that the Ben-Hadad, his father, his grandfather, I believe it is, they had come up against the city of Samaria, and this was the third time that they came up against the city of Samaria, and already they had lost over 100,000 men going up against the city of Samaria. And you say to Ben-Hadad, what are you doing that for? You've already lost over 100,000 men coming up against this city. But you know, I think of that and the enemy of our souls that who never gives up. The enemy of our souls never gives up. And then we find there's a great famine in Samaria. Oh, what a famine there is. And we see that what was being sold. And it's like our brother Doug was saying last night. Think of what the filth that is being sold on the streets of our cities tonight. The filth. And a famine. And you know, dear one, tonight, I believe that in the United States and in Canada, there is another famine. And that is a famine for this precious Word of God. A famine for it. How often do you see this precious Word of God open? Thank you. Ah. It says, Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Dear one, tonight, if you reject this word, it will be this very word that will judge you in a coming day. We should read that. John 12, isn't it? This is the last gospel that our blessed Lord spoke to this world. John 12, verse 44. Jesus cried and said, He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. He that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth in me should not abide in darkness. But if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Think of that. This word will judge you in a coming day if you reject it. It's God's word. What are you going to do with it? And then we find Jehoram, the king of Israel. There was no life in this man. There was no life in this man. And we can see the evidence of it. Here we find that there's two women, and they're arguing over their child. And he didn't have the discernment to know what to say to them. But you know, you think of Solomon in the same circumstance. He had the discernment. Because with Solomon there was life. There was no life with Jehoram. We find also that he blames Elisha. He blames God. And then we find also that he has sackcloth within, underneath his coat, I think it was. He didn't want to see, he didn't want everybody to see that the hand of God was upon him. And you know, I believe it's the same. Supposing we got a person tonight that had rejected the Lord Jesus Christ and hates the Lord Jesus Christ and hates the gospel and hates the Word of God. And we put him down here in the front row and we sit him down there. That man is miserable sitting there under the sound of the Word of God and under the sound of the gospel. He wants to, in the worst way, get out of the room. And you know, here's Elisha, here's this, Jehoram, up in the wall there with sackcloth on. You know, sackcloth is repentance. But the repentance wasn't real with it. The repentance wasn't real with him. You know, it says in Acts 17, God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge this world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. Dear one, tonight you must come as a guilty, lost sinner before a holy God. And he'll save you. He'll save you tonight. And so we come to the 32nd verse, and oh, that's beautiful. And Elisha sat still in his house. That's beautiful. In all this confusion, all this famine that was in the city of Samaria, all this confusion and evil, Elisha sat still in his house. And you know, dear one, tonight, because I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ and know Him as Lord and Savior of my life, I can calmly face the future because the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth me from all sin. We can calmly face the future when the blood is on the door. And then we find, the next thing we find is in chapter 7. We find this, and he says, then Elisha says, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow. Oh, I like that. It's tomorrow. And you know, for the unsaved, he says to you tonight, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Do you know where you'll be tomorrow? I don't. I'm just trusting that the Lord is just going to guide us in these next few months. We don't know what our future is. We don't know what our future is. But the Lord Jesus Christ is our tomorrow. He's our tomorrow. He's our future. He's coming. He's coming to take us home to the Father's house. Oh, what a hope for our soul. What a joy to think of it. It says, he that hath this hope within him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. The coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Are you waiting for him? Waiting for him to come and take you home? But think of this, dear one, tonight. If you're still in your sins, you're still in your sins, dear little boy, little girl, sitting beside your mother and father tonight, you're really saved. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your own personal Savior? If the Lord Jesus Christ was to come tonight, would you go up to meet Him in the clouds? Would you? Would you? I remember a young lad years ago that sat in a gospel meeting like this, and he wasn't saved. And every time this came about, oh, I trembled in my feet. I wasn't saved. I remember very graphically being at my grandmother's funeral, Grandmother Coleman. And they read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout." It was the coming of the Lord that was, and my grandmother was being lowered into the grave. Her life on earth was over. She was in the presence of her Lord. But this little guy that was standing beside her grave, and then they came to the words, "Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." And oh, I shuddered. I wasn't comforted because I didn't know the Lord Jesus as my Savior. And dear one, tonight is not a comforting, it's not comforting to know that the Lord Jesus, if He was come tonight, you'd be left behind in your seat. Now we have in the second verse a mocker. "Then the Lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, 'Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be?' And he said, 'Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not eat thereof.'" Here's a man that mocked, that mocked. There are many that are mocking God tonight. You go to, let's go to it. 2 Peter chapter 3. And I believe it's verse 3. "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, 'Where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning.'" Verse 8, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Does He want you to die in your sins? No, He doesn't. A God of love, but a God of grace and mercy, and His arms are outstretched to you tonight. Dear friend, would you come to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight? You know, I often think, and when we had our gospel meetings back in Newfoundland, we had hundreds of children come into our home. And I used to look at those children, the sweetest little children you could ever imagine, coming from the most ungodly homes that you could ever think of. Broken homes, alcoholic homes, immorality homes. And these little waifs came into our home, and we told them about the Lord Jesus Christ. And often I used to tell them, I said, "Oh, I would just like to gather all you children up and take you home with me to the glory." But I can't. I can't do it. And the same is here tonight. Oh, I would long that as we look over this audience tonight and see so many young ones here tonight, I would just long to take you all in my arms and take you home to the Father's house. But you have an individual responsibility towards a holy God. Your mother and father cannot save you. There's only one that can save you, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, boys and girls, do you know this wonderful person, the Lord Jesus Christ? This mocker, Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven. You know, beloved, I believe that the Lord has opened the windows of heaven this weekend and poured us out a rich blessing. I'm thinking of Malachi chapter 4. The Lord has graciously opened the windows of heaven. And oh, what a blessing that we've had this weekend. But you know, when you get home to glory, it's going to go on for all eternity. Do you want to be there? I want to be there. Now, in verse 3, and there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate, and they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore come and let us fall into the host of the Syrians, and if they save us alive, we shall live. But if they kill us, we shall but die. And they rose up in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians. I'm going to stop right there. Four leprous men. You know, there are, to my knowledge, there are two places in the Word of God that presents a most helpless, hopeless case of a sinner before God. And this is one of them. The other one is in John chapter 5, where we find that man at the pool of Bethesda there, that impotent man laying there, waiting for the moving of the waters. And when the waters were moved, he was to get down there first, and he would have been cured. But he was an impotent man, and he couldn't get down there. He couldn't get somebody to help him go down there. And he'd been there for 38 years. A hopeless case. But it says, Jesus saw him lie. And here are four leprous men. Leprosy, a type of sin. A type of sin. First of all, they were lepers. They were outside the gate of the city. Now, what was going to happen at the gate of the city? The very place where the battle would be the swiftest. What a place to be in. They're lepers. They're at the gate of the city. And inside the city, there's a famine. They went inside the city, they would starve. And if they went into the camp of the Syrians, they probably could have been killed by the Syrians. Now you say, now there's a hopeless case. But you know, that's just who the Lord Jesus delights to save. He does. And here we find it says, why sit we here until we die? Why sit we here until we die? And you know, I believe that there may be someone here tonight who will sit here in their chair and die in their sins. So, why do you sit there tonight in your sins? Why? There's mercy for you tonight. There's grace for you tonight. There's a loving invitation from the heart of the Lord Jesus tonight. He's willing and able to save you. He wants to save you tonight. Oh, won't you come to Him tonight, dear friend? God is pleading for your soul tonight. Won't you come? Verse 6, for the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear the noise of chariots and the noise of horses and even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight and fled their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. Oh, what a great deliverance. What a great deliverance for Israel that day. But oh, dear one, tonight, I want to say, what a great deliverance was wrought for you and I at Calvary's cross when the Lord Jesus was made sin for us and bore our sin. What a great deliverance for you and I. Then it says here, when these lepers came into the camp, outermost camp of part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink and carried thence silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it and came again and entered into another tent and carried thence also and went and hid it. You think of these lepers. They come into the camp there, and there everything was for them. Something to eat, something to drink, gold, silver, raiment. And you know, these five things were given to Rebecca by the servant. Five things. But oh, a God that delights to give, a God that delights to bless. The blessings that God showers upon us every day. The blessings that come down from above because we belong to Him. Oh, I think of that, and I think it so often. And I thank God so often for all the blessings that He showers upon us day by day because we belong to Him. And it says in Ephesians, it says, and blessed with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. A God that delights to bless. And He wants to bless you tonight. And then it says in verse 9, and they said one to another, we do not well. This is a day of good tidings and we hold our peace. This is a day of good tidings and we hold our peace. And isn't it, friend, tonight a day of good tidings when the gospel can go out to whosoever will? Here it is, the last gospel meeting, and it's going out again. It's good tidings to this lost world. You get the newspaper every day. Do you see good tidings? No, you don't. But here's good tidings right here, dear friend. It's right here. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The best tidings that man could ever think of. That God is offering you tonight. We do not well. This is a day of good tidings. And we hold our peace. Oh, we can't hold our peace. This wonderful gospel, we want to proclaim it, dear one, to whosoever will. It says, whosoever will may come. Would you come tonight? Will you come tonight in all your sins? Come to the Lord Jesus. It says, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Verse 12, and the king arose in the night and said unto his servants, I will now show you what the Syrians have done unto us. They know that we be hungry, therefore they are gone out of the camp to hide themselves in the field, saying, when they come out of the city, we shall catch them alive and get into the city. Another positive proof that there was no life with Jehoram. He was a skeptic. He had no faith. He didn't believe this wonderful deliverance. And then there was another man. I want to finish with this. There was another man, a scoffer, at the very first of our chapter. He said, I don't believe. I don't believe. Is there one tonight here that is saying, I don't want to believe. I won't believe. Here is a man that said, I won't believe. What happened? He was the keeper of the gate. And there was all that food out in the camp of the Syrians. Food for hungry people. A famine in the city of Samaria. And that mass exodus out the gate. And he died in the gate. He died in the gate. He scoffed at the grace of God. He scoffed at it, at the grace of God. And he died in the gate. Thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not eat thereof. He saw it, but he never ate of it. And you know, if you go to the 16th chapter, well, maybe we better, 16th chapter of Luke, we'll find there another man, so solemn. Well, let's read the whole thing. Luke 16, verse 19, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. He lived luxuriously. He left God out of his life. He didn't give God the glory and the honor. He wasn't thankful for all the blessings that God had given him. He wouldn't have been rich if it wasn't for God. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of stores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. Solemn, isn't it? And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. In hell he lifted up his eyes. Thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not eat thereof. What a solemn thing for a scoffer who rejected the wonderful deliverance of God. Dear one, tonight, we want to plead for you, dear one, tonight. If you're still in your sins, won't you come to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight? Come just as you are. It says in that hymn that we often sing, just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, but that thou bidst me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come. Won't you come to him tonight and confess him as Lord and Savior, as Lord of your life. I want to stress that. As Lord of your life. He's a wonderful Savior, dear one, tonight. I'm never, never sorry that I came to Christ. He's been a wonderful Savior and a wonderful guide and a wonderful friend, a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Oh, dear one, tonight, you are missing something if you don't know Christ as your Savior. You're missing something, something very wonderful. The peace, the joy, the lasting joy that He gives you. What a Savior. Surely we can say, hallelujah, what a Savior. What a Savior that He died for me. Oh, dear one, tonight, you're missing something. And if you don't know Christ as your Savior, let's sing that song. It's Just As I Am, Without One Plea, number 12. But that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come. And dear one, tonight, you can come to Christ tonight, right in the seat that you're sitting. It said, we said earlier, why sit ye here and die? But oh, dear one, tonight, you can sit in that seat tonight and live and have eternal life and have everlasting life. If you just come to the Lord Jesus and confess Him as Lord and Savior, own that you're a sinner before Him. It says, but if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Shall we sing number 12?